The Guardian.
China is using new technologies with help from Western multinational companies to develop an ultra-modern system of surveillance. The UK government will be watching the Beijing Olympics with interest to see the high-tech security system in action. In today's Guardian, the anti-globalisation writer Naomi Klein describes China's so-called Golden Shield. She says the people-watching machine is already in evidence in the new city of Shenzhen.
What's important to understand about Shenzhen is that it's always been a laboratory. Shenzhen as a city didn't exist in 1980. It was chosen as one of China's first special economic zones. So it was a small fishing village, and now is a city of 12.4 million people. And it began as this experiment in capitalism. And the theory was, when it was turned into a special economic zone, is that China would hold on to its socialist soul, but in this special area, the rules of free market would be allowed to apply. And the idea was to get the benefits of capitalism, but contain its negative side effects, like some sort of toxic waste inside the zone. Now, as we know, this experiment in capitalism was so successful that it spread to the broader Pearl River Delta. This is right across from Hong Kong. There are 100,000 factories in the Pearl River Delta, roughly. And basically, chances are that almost everything that you own, or maybe three quarters of everything you own, was made in one of those factories. Your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, your jeans, just everything is made there. And what I'm showing in this piece is that Shenzhen is once again a laboratory. It's a new kind of laboratory. It's a laboratory for the surveillance state, or a kind of police state 2.0. The Chinese government has decided to road test a series of technologies like biometric IDs, network CCTV cameras. There are going to be 2 million CCTV cameras, and the idea is to network them all, and the cameras are both in public spaces and also in privately owned spaces, but all of them networked. And this is what's different between London and China. In London, you do, as you know, have a lot of CCTV cameras, half a million, and more than anywhere else in the world. But you can't have this level of integration between public and private cameras, which is what they're doing in China. And there hasn't been the integration of facial recognition software and biometric IDs that they're trying in China. So Shenzhen was born as a laboratory, and it is a laboratory still.
What kind of private spaces will host these CCTVs?
Well, they already do. Internet cafes, what they call entertainment venues, which is everything from karaoke bars to restaurants, religious sites as well, are required by law to have CCTV cameras, and for the feeds to go directly to the local police station. So I went to several internet cafes, and by the way, they're nothing like cafes. Shenzhen's internet cafes are, or internet bars, as they call them, net bars, are more like, I don't know, massive community centers in a way, 600 terminals at an average size net bar. And the local press is filled with stories of teenagers who sort of go into these places and never come out. They're open 24 hours, and there are a lot of concerns about internet addiction, and all the boys are playing games and the girls are watching soap operas, not to feed gender stereotypes, but this is just what I saw. And people are ordering food and so on, and really spend a huge amount of time at the internet cafes. But there are cameras everywhere in the cafes, not just like one camera at the door, but directed at every screen, and feeding directly into the local police station. And the other way in which the internet cafes are under surveillance is that now in Guangzhou and Shenzhen, you can't get online without a special first of all, showing your national ID, and then with that ID, you get a new special pass card, which you use to get on the internet. And what that means is that your surfing can be under surveillance, and if you are somebody who's been tagged or flagged by local authorities, if you're on a blacklist, then as soon as you log into the computer, then theoretically an alarm goes off and your activities are monitored.
Tell us the difference between the CCTVs that are being used in modern China. I mean, they do more than just watch, don't they?
It's important that in many ways we've imagined this future so many times that it's practically a cliche to even discuss it. I think Guardian readers might be familiar with the opening scene of the Bourne Ultimatum film, and I'm laughing just because there it features prominently a Guardian reporter. But if we were, you know, if we think about the first 20 minutes of the latest Bourne film. I don't usually use Bourne films as my reference point, but in this one, I think that it's really worth it, where the CIA is, of course, hunting down Jason Bourne and the Guardian reporter to identify a link. And in so doing, they are able to commandeer all of the CCTV cameras in London, seemingly, right? And to run identity checks, facial recognition software through the system, and also do cell phone tracking using GPS and so on to find their target. So what you see in that first 20 minutes of the film is the dream of the tech companies, what they would like to do in London and New York if there were, say, no privacy laws, no civil liberties whatsoever, because we actually haven't gone that far down into the Bourne Ultimatum future. Now, I think the advantage of China for many of these surveillance companies, and China is now the biggest market, it's the fastest growing market for what's called homeland security. And companies like General Electric, Honeywell, all of the big players are flocking to China to sell technologies that actually some of them can't be implemented in the United States or in Britain, precisely because there are still concerns about these technologies in the Big Brother state.
Can you tell us about Golden Shield? Because this is the sort of Chinese state system that brings together these different kinds of technologies to create this kind of 21st century Big Brother.
Exactly. Golden Shield is the name given to what we're describing. It's the networking of all of these surveillance technologies. And this is the big difference. It's not the tools themselves, because there are places in Europe that are using biometric ID cards. As we know, there's an incredible proliferation of CCTV cameras. We know in the United States that there's been a great deal of cooperation between the big telephone companies to hand over email correspondence, to do warrantless wiretapping of phones, and there are several lawsuits going on about that now. What Golden Shield does is it integrates it all together to create this shield, and this is an attempt by the Chinese government to have the benefits of the information age without the risks. And of course, there are great risks to an authoritarian regime if their people are able to get access to any kind of information they want, but also use these tools of the information age to build movements. In recent years, there's been a major spike in protests in China. In 2005, there were 87,000 what the Chinese government calls mass incidents, so riots, protests, many of them over land grabs in rural areas, where an area that's being used for a village for farmland is just commandeered to create a new free trade zone or a highway or a dam or a shopping mall or whatever, and there are huge protests. Now, tools like text messaging, blogs, have been very, very useful in organizing communities in China. And there have been a few really high-profile examples of this. So Golden Shield is the state's response to the grassroots use of these technologies.
And how easy is it still for, as you say, people in the grassroots to use their mobile phones and the internet and other kinds of technology to organise the government in the face of Golden Shield and the sort of burgeoning police state that you've described?
Well, people can do it as long as they don't mind their communication being read. And the assumption, absolutely across the board in China, is that your emails are being read. And if you are a labor organizer, any kind of community organizer, that's the assumption. And part of the appeal of China for these Western tech companies, and one of the things that I researched for this piece was the involvement of companies like L1, a major American defense contractor, that is the company that takes your finger scans at U.S. airports when you enter. A very controversial policy, as you know. Lots of British citizens have decided not to go to the United States because they don't want to be fingerprinted. Well, L1 is the company that does the fingerprinting, and they have sold technology to Chinese firms in the hopes of having facial recognition software integrated into Golden Shield.
Sorry, Naomi, are you okay?
Yes, I am.
I was quite interested in the fact that, you know, L1 have not been very forthcoming about their activities in China. I mean, what do the US and European multinationals say about when they're confronted with the possible uses of the technology that they're helping China produce?
They say as little as possible. At first, when I called L1, they denied that they had any business in China. And then when I told them that I had met a security executive in China who told me that he bought their software and that he was using it as part of what's called the 10 million faces test. It's a test being run by Chinese security services to see which company's facial recognition software can find one face in 10 million the fastest and with the greatest degree of accuracy. So when I put that evidence to them, then they admitted that yes, they are doing business in China. Now, the reason for this caginess is pretty straightforward. These actions may well be illegal. They're at least on the line of legality. And this dates back to the Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989 and the response of the world to that great tragedy. One of the responses in the United States was to pass legislation that barred weapon sales to China and also sales of technologies and tools that could be used in policing. So that was everything from handcuffs to police batons to fingerprinting technology. The reason why we're in a gray area now is that many of the high-tech tools for surveillance were still in the realm of science fiction in 1989 when this list was being drawn up. So while it is illegal to export fingerprinting technology to China, it is not clear that it's illegal to export face printing technology, because in 1989 face printing was not something that was being done. Face printing is the phrase they use for facial recognition. So companies are really testing the ground to see what they can get away with, and there's a huge lobbying effort right now to actually loosen these regulations. Something else that's interesting is that there's been a real push in the past year to sell these technologies to China in the name of Olympic security and in the name of securing Beijing for Western athletes, Western politicians who are planning to attend the games. And in the age of the war on terror, this seems like a fairly benign request. And China has spent somewhere in the realm of $12.5 billion in the name of Olympic security. And I say in the name because it isn't just in Beijing, it's in cities that aren't even hosting games. So I don't think it is clear that it is just about the Olympics. And to put that in perspective, Athens, which hosted the games after September 11th, spent $1.5 billion on securing the Olympics. So this is a massive increase of expenditure on security and surveillance. And Sharon Hom, who I quote in the piece, who's executive director of a human rights organization in New York called Human Rights in China, has been pointing out that all of the surveillance technologies that are being sold to the Chinese government in the name of Olympic security are, of course, all going to stay in China after the Olympic Games end to be used for domestic purposes.
Well, that's not the kind of Olympic legacy which Londoners might want to hear about, because, of course, London is hosting the Olympics in 2012. I mean, do you think that London will be looking to the way that China is using surveillance to police its games and learn? What kind of lessons do you think London will be learning from that?
Well, I think the important thing to learn is that there is a kind of surveillance arms race going on. And when we see the jump from the Athens spending to the Beijing spending, we can understand why. This is a massive industry, and this is something, you know, that I've been arguing and written about in The Guardian before, and that it's a big part of my book, The Shock Doctrine, that we need to understand that the war on terror is not a war. It's a new economy. If you think about it as a war, it doesn't make sense. You can't win a war against evil everywhere forever. But if you think about it as a new economy on the level of a dot-com economy in the 90s, then it makes a great deal of sense. And you have all these companies that are making very, very quick profits. And in fact, one of the security executives who I interviewed in Guangzhou told me that face recognition is the new dot-com. And there are all these startup companies that are getting in on this action. And it's a pretty straightforward business model, because, of course, you're not really in the free market. You're just getting government contracts. It's mostly about the connections that you have. So I think what Londoners need to to be wary of is the pressure that's being exerted behind the scenes by companies which have gotten a taste of the super profits in China in the name of Olympic security, and they are going to be selling the same model now to any city that hosts the Games. And it's not just the a question of public expenditure. It's also that within a context, within a political context in China that doesn't respect privacy, that doesn't respect civil liberties, these Western companies are getting to network all of their tech toys together. And I'm quite sure they'll tell us that if the Games go off without a hitch, it was largely part of their doing. I'm talking about the Beijing Games this summer. And so it isn't just the public spending that we need to be wary of. It's also that there's a real danger that the Olympics could host a major leap forward for the surveillance society in London, that there will be more integration of all of these technologies.
Naomi Klein, many thanks for talking to us. For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's the Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.